My name is Lenora Russo. I am one of the pastors here at Trinity. If you worship with us regularly, we always love to spend the time with you. And if this is your first time here, we want you to know how thrilled we are that you chose to be with us this morning. I'd like to take just a moment to point your attention to the Connect card in your bulletin. If you will take a moment and pull that out of your bulletin and complete that for us, we greatly appreciate it. If you're here on a regular basis, just your name and email is very helpful. And if you are new to worshiping with us, as much information as you're willing to share with us, we would gladly receive. Our mission box for today goes to serve Kathleen Coughlin, and she actually grew up here in this church, went through our children's ministry, youth ministries, got involved with missions, and answered a call to be a missionary with Faithful Servant Missions. And they serve in the Costa Rica and Panama area, seeking to improve the physical, educational, and spiritual lives of those that they encounter there. So this morning, I encourage you to consider giving generously to support her ability to stay in the mission field. And you can do that at any of our 5 mission boxes as you leave after worship today. Over the next several weeks, we will continue to celebrate Easter. It's not a one-day event in the life of the church, but it's actually a season. And so for the next 7 weeks, we're going to explore those encounters that Jesus had after the resurrection. This morning, the very first encounter we will look at is when he met Mary in the garden and called her by name. It is our hope that you sense the Spirit calling each and every one of you by name here this morning to encounter the risen Lord. And with that in mind, I say to you, welcome home. Will you take a moment to greet those around you and introduce yourself by name if you do not know the person next to you? Good morning. Please remain standing as you are able, and let us worship God together as we sing our opening hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Living Lord, we are here to worship you in spirit and truth. May we encounter your presence anew and afresh among us, and may it transform us so that we can carry the light of Christ into the world from here. Amen. This morning in the life of our church, we have the privilege of confirming 22 youth, and they have comprised our affirmation of faith today. So will you please join me in affirming our faith with the words you see before you. We believe that God is our loving creator and our everlasting Father. God is our ultimate healer, forgiver, and provider. We believe that Jesus, God's only Son, that died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He was the example of a true servant to everyone. We believe that the Holy Spirit is God in our hearts, helping to guide us through life. The Spirit gives us unique gifts to use in our own lives for the spreading of God's kingdom. We believe that the church is our true home, our family of love and worship. We grow in our understanding of God and what it means to live for Him. The church gives us opportunities to show love through service to others. We believe that life as a Christian means that we worship together with our church family. We use the Bible as our guide in this lifelong pursuit to follow God's plan for us as we resist temptation. Amen. You may be seated. As we move into a time of prayer this morning, I want to invite you to spend a few moments in silent prayer and lift up to God the concerns that are on your heart. I would also invite you to lift up the names that are on the screens this morning, those in our church community who are in need of our prayers and support, and also for Ann and Phil Coons. Ann's father passed away this morning, and so please be in prayer for the Coons. I know that many of you all know them. There are also concerns that you may have for our community, for our nation, and for our world, and I invite you to hold those in prayer also. So let me invite you to bow your heads and pray with me, and then I'll lead us together. Resurrected God, Savior of new life and new hope, we come to you this morning in humble prayer and in joyous song, for Easter has changed our lives. We gather to thank you that in your resurrection, you open the possibility for us to be renewed and transformed. We stumble toward the tomb and expect to find the grave clothes of our world, but you are alive. Sin cannot hold you, death cannot bind you, and just as we have been weeping and mourning that you have been taken from us, you meet us in the garden of new life and send us running to share the good news. Yet we confess our slowness to embrace the new life you offer. We admit that there are many times when we are not mindful of your presence. We give up the comfort, and we avoid the challenge that come from your word and spirit. Forgive us and restore the joy of knowing you. Encourage us, O God, when we doubt your promise to be with us always. In our worship and in our daily lives, give us the gifts of discernment and hope. Help us to recognize your workings in the commonplace. In the everyday, help us to find faith and help us to perceive not only what is, but also what by your grace can be. Now gather us together, we pray. Form us into a holy community of your own people, molding us by the breath of your Holy Spirit. This morning we especially pray for our confirmants, for the students who are ready to make a commitment to offer you their lives and to follow you. Strengthen them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help them to deepen their faith and grow as disciples. And reveal through them and through this, your church, the face of Christ to a community and a world in need of your love and grace. In the name of Christ, we pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. One of the ways that we offer of our lives in response to God's grace in our lives is through our tithes and offerings. We'll be passing offering plates along your rows, and we invite you to make your gifts of tithes and offerings. You can also place your Connect card in the offering plate as well. And if you want to give by other means, there is a QR code and text to give information in your bulletin. So let me invite the ushers to come forward this morning as I pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the many gifts that you have showered upon us and for the opportunity to give just a portion back to you. We thank you for the many ways that you are at work in our lives and through our generosity. We pray that you will further the mission and ministry of this church to reach a community and a world in great need. So now bless these offerings and use them. Use them for your glory, that your kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Hi, my name is Robin Davis, and today's sunlight is singing Stand By Me by Rachel Klein. This song reminds us that we never walk alone when we have welcomed God into our life. Today's scripture passage has Jesus appearing to Mary of Magdalene when she is crying over the death of Jesus. And like her, we have all experienced loss and brokenness in our life. Our song states, "If your wings are broken, please take mine so yours can open too." This is like God offering to help us when we are lost. The tools of our faith, like scripture and worship, and sacraments like baptism and confirmation, help us to find a way to God's path. Today, on Confirmation Day, we have these students who are deciding to walk in God's path. They've chosen to walk with others, their friends, family, and church family, and to stand by each other in hard times. They're accepting that sometimes we will make sacrifices for those we love in the same way that God has made a sacrifice for each of us by giving us Jesus. Mary Magdalene says in John 18, "I've seen the Lord," and our song says, "You're not alone, because I'm going to stand by you." God is ready and willing to walk our life's journey with us. I invite you to worship with us as the very talented Anu Srivastava and the Sunlight Youth Choir and Band lead us in Stand By You.
Put your empty hands in mine, and stars show me last week, we were here gathered to celebrate the good news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we looked at one of the gospel accounts of that first Easter morning, the one that Matthew tells us about. Today, as we start this series on the seven next words of Christ, we're going to look at what John has to tell us. And you know, anytime you get four different people telling a story, they're not all going to tell it exactly the same way, right? They're all going to tell it from a different perspective. Well, when we go to John's gospel, when we get to that, the beginning of that next morning, what we hear is John telling us that it was Mary Magdalene who goes to the tomb. This is the only version where just one of the women goes by herself. And so Mary Magdalene goes and finds that when she gets to the tomb, the stone has been rolled away. And she is terribly troubled by this. All of the horrible things start running through her mind about what could have possibly happened. Who has stolen the body of the one she loves so dearly, Jesus? What in the world is going on? And so she rushes away from the tomb, and she goes to find whoever she can who can be of some help and comfort to her. And the first two she finds are two of the disciples, Peter and John. Well, Peter and John, hearing this news, want to go back and see for themselves. And so they actually kind of leave Mary in the dust. You know, there's this moment that's almost comical in this portion of John where Peter and John are kind of doing the boys will be boys thing. Because what the gospel writer tells us is that they start running and they actually end up in a foot race to see who can get to the empty tomb first. And John is pretty clear to tell us that John outruns Peter, so he gets the first look in the tomb, looks in, doesn't see anything, so he steps back, and then Peter, being who Peter is, always kind of rushing headfirst into everything, shows up and goes running right past John and goes into the tomb, sees nothing, comes back out, and then as soon as they've arrived, the two of them leave. Meanwhile, Mary has made it back to the tomb. And so there she is all by herself again, Peter and John having been absolutely no help to her at all. And so it's at that moment that we pick up the story today, where Mary then will have an encounter all by herself with the risen Lord, which seems fitting today. On this day, as we celebrate young people coming to faith, this story is a reminder that while we live the Christian life in community, each of us must ultimately come to faith through an encounter with the risen Lord that is all our own. Nobody else can have that encounter or experience for us. So hear now these words that come from the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter, and you can follow along on the screen. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying, and as she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. Interesting, when Peter and John show up at the tomb, they see nothing. They were in such a hurry that maybe they missed it, or maybe these angels are there just for Mary's benefit. And the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord." Her mind has gone to that place where she can't imagine, or she's imagining the unimaginable. And I don't know where they've put him. As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she still doesn't recognize him. She replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, in that moment of recognition, "Rabuni," which means teacher, that name that she and the disciples had used in reference to Jesus so many times before. And Jesus said to her, Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And then she told them what he said to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives this morning. Amen. This account, this one-on-one experience that Mary has with Jesus, reveals to us this morning an encounter with grace. Wherever God shows up, there is always grace involved. And what a great reminder for us this morning, as 22 of you respond in faith to that grace. You know, grace is the very heartbeat of our faith. For persons of all kinds of backgrounds and denominations, within our Methodist Wesleyan tradition, grace is something that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, talked about in a very particular way. In fact, he had one of his most famous sermons where we hear this idea about grace articulated, and it shows up time and time again in his writings. He talks about three movements of grace that persons experience in their lives. Because God is always showing up gracefully in our lives. And so, interestingly, this week, as I was looking at this passage from John, I saw something there I had never noticed before. You know, it's amazing, no matter how many times you have read a passage of Scripture, when you go back to it, it always has the capacity to say something new to us. That's why we refer to it as the living word, because through the Spirit being at work as we do our reading, we can hear something new. And as I looked at it this week, suddenly I became aware that within this story of Mary encountering Jesus, there is actually a framework for us to talk about these movements of grace that John Wesley identified so many years ago in the ways in which we experience God showing up. So, in the beginning of our passage today, there is Mary, deeply troubled, looking into the tomb, and she has no idea what has happened to Jesus. All she knows is that his body is not where it is supposed to be, and so she is crying, she is distraught, she is brokenhearted, and there are two angels there who ask her why she is crying. But she is so overwhelmed with grief, she can't really engage in a meaningful conversation or even be able to hear what it is they are saying. And so she turns, the Scripture tells us. Likely she was turning, ready to just walk away and perhaps go back to the other disciples and to grieve with them and to tell them this horrible thing that has happened. But when she turns, John tells us that she sees Jesus, but she does not know it is Jesus. That, my friends, is an example of what Wesley referred to as prevenient grace. All right, confirmands, does that word sound familiar at all, prevenient? Have you heard that in the last few weeks as you have looked at, yeah, I see a few hands going up. It's kind of a big word, and it's not one we say every day, so not surprised that it wouldn't automatically jump out at you. So let me tell you for a minute about that prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the presence of God at work even when we don't realize it. Prevenient grace is the idea that God shows up and God has said yes to us long before we ever say yes to God. And so here we are in this story. Mary turning, seeing Jesus, who she has known as a dear friend, but in that moment, not recognizing him. But Jesus is there with her and for her, loving her, caring for her, comforting her. Prevenient grace is God showing up and God being present all the time for us, even when we are unaware or uninterested, or just clueless. So, Jesus is the first one to speak. He sees that she does not recognize who he is, and so he starts with the same question that the angels asked her. Why are you crying? And then he moves on to the question that he really wants to ask in order to help her recognize. He says, "Who are you looking for?" Now that question does not immediately lead to Mary recognizing him, but that is the question that leads us all to the point of faith. Over the last number of weeks, you confirmands have been looking at what it means to be a follower of Christ. You've been studying doctrines of the faith. You've been learning about the church and about scriptures. And today, you are now here all of your own accord with family and friends and a congregation to be with and in support of you. But each of you on your own has to be the one to say yes. So, in the story today, Mary still doesn't recognize Jesus, and so he helps her a little more. He calls her name, Mary. And in that moment, she remembers, perhaps, that time long before when Jesus was speaking to the disciples and others who had gathered around, and he said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep by name, and I call them by name." And here is Jesus calling Mary by name. And when she hears her name spoken by Jesus, then she recognizes. Then she responds in affirmation and acknowledgement of who this is that is standing before her. And that is the way it is for us. God says yes to us first, and then there comes a moment in time when we make the decision to say yes back. And in that moment, we experience another movement of grace. And it is what Wesley referred to as justifying. Justifying because we are made right. Everything that was wrong before is now set right, and we are at one with God and at one with our brothers and sisters. And then we are at a new starting point for what will continue long after that day. Confirmands, I want you to hear this as perhaps the one thing I want to make sure you hear today if you hear nothing else. Right now, this moment where you say yes, this is not an ending. This is not the grand finale. This is the beginning. This is the moment at which you begin your journey of walking with Christ, when in saying yes to him, you decide now to turn your life over to him and allow him to lead you in everything that you do for all. our story this morning, we see that Jesus is going to indicate a similar idea to Mary. Without the story from John, we might think that at that moment where Jesus has called her by name and then she recognizes him, that they celebrate this wonderful reunion and spend some time just hanging out together in the garden, and life goes on happily ever after. But Jesus says a very interesting thing to Mary. As soon as she recognizes him, he says, when we have a moment of inspiring faith, of devotion, of recognition, it is tempting to want to stay right there and shut all the world out and say, okay, I'm good now. This is it for me. But Jesus says to his disciples, that's us in the year 2017, Jesus says, because faith must be lived out in the real world, in real relationships that we have with our families and with our friends and with our neighbors and with our colleagues and with strangers and with our enemies. Real faith, real discipleship is lived out with those who love us dearly and with those who persecute us, with those who agree with what we say and with those who don't. Real faith is lived out day by day in the real world. And so Jesus says to us, Jesus says to you today, confirmands, that after you say yes and we celebrate that with you in here, Go out into the world and live in a way that the world will see Christ in you. And go and tell. You see, because one of our callings is to invite others to discover the love and the good news that we ourselves have discovered. So in just a few moments, you all will stand up and you will answer three questions that thousands and thousands of people before you, both in this congregation and in congregations around the world, have responded to. Your responses to these questions are your yes back to God. God has already said yes to you. God said yes to you while you were still in your mother's womb. And today is your day to say yes back to God. Who is it that you are looking for? Jesus asked Mary. Jesus asks us the same question. That as we move from grace to grace, even after we have said yes, we might experience the sanctifying grace of God at work in our lives. Who are you looking for, church? Holy and merciful God, for the depth and width of your grace for each of us, we give you thanks and praise. For the courage of those who have gone before us and the courage of those who stand before us today to say yes, we give you thanks.
church, this morning we get to have the privilege and the honor of celebrating these 22 students who are coming to commit their lives to following Christ. It was a year ago on Confirmation Sunday that Dan Johnson, your beloved minister of many years, shared with you that there was a little girl who had gone through confirmation. Not a little girl. I was in sixth grade. Who had gone through confirmation many years ago, and that she had gone into ministry, and then he named me by name. And then the next Sunday he told you all, I think it was the next Sunday, that I was coming to be one of your pastors. You know, as you all make this commitment today, you never know where it might be that God will lead you. Missionary, like Kathleen, the one that we're supporting today with mission boxes. Minister, preacher, you never know where it might be that God will lead you. As I sat in that room with my minister all those years ago, one thing I remember very clearly, and that was that Dean Martin said, yes, we were learning a lot of stuff, and there was a lot of knowledge that we were gaining. But the most important thing was that this was our opportunity to make a commitment to following Christ. And that's what you guys are doing here today. So we're really excited to be able to celebrate with you. I'm going to invite all of the confirmands to stand up where you are, and I'm going to invite Brian to come forward. You know, you all have had the benefit, you can go ahead and come, had the benefit of working with Julie Mishu as your youth minister, and Brian as your interim youth minister, and then JJ as your new youth minister. And since Brian has been working with you all during confirmation, he's coming now to ask you guys these questions and your parents and your congregation as well.
The confirmands, I have three questions for you, and the way we would like you to respond is with "I do." Congregation, we have a question for you, and your response will be on the screen. So, confirmands, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Please repeat. I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression, in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And congregation, with God's help, will you nurture one another in faith and life and include these youth now before you in your care?
We will surround these youth with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And now I'm going to invite most of the confirmation class to be seated. There are four baptisms today. So I want to invite you all who are going to be baptized to come and stand up here. And families, if you will come and stand behind those, if your teenagers are being baptized today, let me invite those families to come and stand behind them. You guys can stand here, just stand right on the middle step there, and they'll face us. And families, if you'll kind of gather behind your kids. Join me in prayer. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. Amen.
I present Ethan and your heart for baptism. Jackson Wesley Edward Parrish for baptism. I present Rebecca Faith Lewis for baptism.
Rebecca Faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And I present Nathan Prescott Kemp for baptism.
Those who have just been baptized, and the other confirmands to come and kneel at the altar rail, and the parents to stand behind them, and the rest of the family to go and be seated to celebrate your baptism today. The confirmands, come on up, come on, come on. Come stand at the kneel at the altar rail, and parents, if you'll stand behind them. Let's pray for everybody to be seated.
I present Allison Christine Ballard for confirmation.
Allison Christine, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, may grow as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
I present Marissa Nicole Beardsley for confirmation.
Marissa Nicole, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple.
I present Gabriel Villegas Palante for confirmation.
Gabriel Villegas, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus.
I present Jaden Lindays for confirmation.
Jaden Lynn, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
I present Olivia Deborah Fox for confirmation.
Olivia, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I present Amber Rose Fry for confirmation.
Amber Rose, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Present Katie Ella Brett for confirmation.
Katie Ella, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I present Ethan Andrew Harp for confirmation.
Ethan Andrew, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus.
I present Nathan Prescott Kemp for confirmation.
Nathan Prescott, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I present Rebecca Faith Lewis for confirmation.
Rebecca Faith, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple.
I present Eliza Meyer Matthias for confirmation.
Eliza Meyer, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I present William Dalton McDaniel for confirmation.
William Dalton, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus.
I present Holly Elizabeth Menninger for confirmation.
Holly Elizabeth, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
I present Anna Dorothea Nichols for confirmation.
Anna Dorothea, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple.
I present Jackson Wesley Edward Harris for confirmation.
Jackson Wesley Edward, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I present Claire Catherine Rockford for confirmation.
Claire Catherine, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
I present Ethan William Thomas for confirmation.
Ethan William, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I present Nicholas Joseph Upshaw for confirmation.
Nicholas Joseph, the Holy Spirit work within you, having been born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
I present Reed Philip Wagner for confirmation.
Reed Philip, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Spirit work within you that having been born of water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And now as these kids have their souls on them, I want to invite you all to stand. And I want you to, invite you to move through your parents and turn around so you're in front of them and facing the congregation. Those on the end, y'all need to curve back out.
You don't have to stand. We just want the confirmants to stand.
Sorry. Kaylee, y'all move out toward the end so that everybody can see you. Move forward some. And y'all on this side, move forward some as well.
And we present to you the 2017 confirmation class.
Let me invite you all to go ahead and be seated.
We come to this table where we are reminded that throughout Scripture, God used sacred meals as outward signs of inward grace. You remember in particular the night that he sat with his disciples, instituting this meal where we gather around the table like his disciples did to be nourished by the grace of God. Because we spend our lives going from grace to grace to grace, and we are fed. We remember when Jesus took bread, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and again, giving thanks to his Father in heaven, he offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink, all of you, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at your banquet. Through Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your Holy Church, we pray. I'd like to invite our confirmands to come forward. They will be serving communion this morning. And as they prepare the stations, I'd like to let you all know that in the United Methodist Church, the communion table is an open table. You simply are invited to come at the invitation of God's Spirit to receive grace. We serve communion by way of intention, which means that we'll tear off a piece of bread place it into your open hand, and then you're invited to dip it into the cup. You will have a pair of servers in front of each section, and we ask that you begin at the front, exit your row to the left, and return by the right, and receive communion that way. And since the confirmands are serving communion this morning, wanted to also extend an invitation to you. This meal is God's divine yes. In the Methodist Church, we do have weekly altar calls, and it's called communion. We come forward and receiving grace that is our saying yes to God. But if you've never said yes to God in your life, and you'd like to do that this morning, the pastors will be available here inside the prayer rail. In fact, when you receive communion, you are invited to come. And it would be our pleasure and privilege to pray with you this morning. And as the confirmands make their way to the station, they're still preparing.
Juice at every section. So a couple of you guys go back to the back section. We see bread and juice at every section. The beauty of serving and serving for the first time.
Table is set. All is ready. Please come and receive grace.
Here's
to go from this place, receive this blessing. Go out knowing that the God that you seek is the God who has already shown up and said yes to you. And through Jesus Christ comes to call you by name and by the power of the Spirit to invite you to say yes back. Go. Follow.